That's where we'll start. No idea where we'll finish or where we're even going to go this morning. Praise God. Just know where to start. That's all that matters. You know what? Well, anyways, we'll just pray first and get some utterance from Him. Father, we're so thankful for the Word this morning, so grateful. We honor and magnify You and bless that wonderful name of Jesus. So thankful for what is about to be imparted. Father, speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, that I would not speak with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, that the people's faith would not rest in the wisdom of a man, but in the power of You. Father, I thank You that something will be said this morning that will strike a chord with every single person here on a personal, individual, one-on-one level. And Father, that will be a sign unto them that You're real, number one, but that You have a plan for them, number two, and that You're speaking to them in this place. And this is where their visitation is. So Father, I thank You that You'll do all three of those things, and we'll just give You the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, I don't know if you realize this. I don't know why I'm opening that. I don't know if you realize this or not, but worship, and this is not where I'm starting, but it's in my spirit, so I'm going to say it. Worship is the voice of faith.
Amen.
Worship is the voice of faith.
Yeah.
If you can't worship, you ain't in faith.
That's right.
It's just the truth.
Yeah. That's good.
It's just the truth. Now, I'm not talking about, people that maybe haven't been around the things of God and don't know the things of God and, have not been taught the things of God. I don't mean that. There was a time I came in and didn't know anything about anything and still don't know very much, but I know a little more than when I first came in. And I'm not talking about that. But I'll tell you what, people that have been around the Word, people have been around the faith message, and if you can't worship, you're not in faith. You can't. You're not. The Bible says Abraham was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Well, the only reason you don't worship and don't hop in and magnify God and you get down and out and just let the world beat you up and get self is because you just don't believe that's going to turn around.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's good word. Yeah.
I rejoice and praise in the tests and the trials because I know my God's going to do some things.
Right.
Yeah. And when you don't worship and you get quiet, well, the Bible says the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. You need God on the scene.
Yeah.
He said He'll dwell where His people are.
Right.
And I'm amazed at people that should know better, that don't step out into worshiping Him and to praising Him, because worship is the voice of faith. If you're in faith, you can't help but praise Him.
Right.
No matter what you're facing and what you're going through. And so you say, well, I don't feel like worshiping. Well, welcome to Christianity 101. We don't go by our feelings.
Right.
Well, I don't feel like lifting my hands. Well, I don't think He asked you how you felt about it.
Right.
Well, I don't feel like worshiping Him. Well, He didn't ask you how you felt about it. He just told you there's power if you'll do it.
That's
what He said. The Bible says at midnight in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, having been found in chains and stripped naked and beaten in prison, at midnight, the Bible said, they prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them.
Amen.
You tell me, nobody in here this morning's in prison.
That's right. Come on.
And thank God nobody in here is naked. Oh, Jesus. We would get a reputation then. Oh, that church down the road. And nobody's been beaten before they came in. But here they were in the worst position of their life, in the middle of the will of God, getting beaten, thrown in prison. And at midnight, the Bible says, they lifted their voice and praised God. And the Bible says, and suddenly, the power of God broke that chains off them. It's true. Isn't it interesting that God told the people, the children of Israel, concerning Jericho. Jericho was the first city that they took when they went into the Promised Land, that there was walls that were keeping them out. And the Bible says that Jericho was straightly shut up, is what the Bible says. It means that nobody could go or nobody could enter because they knew Israel was bearing down on them. And the Lord said, this is how you're going to take it. He said, for 6 days, I want you to get people and I want you to encompass the whole city. Go around it one time, 6 days in a row. On the seventh day, I want you to go around the city 7 times.
Yeah.
The whole city. And when you're done, get out the instruments. Get out the old trumpet. Warm the cheeks up. Warm the diaphragm up. And start to blow on that thing. And when you hear the music, the Bible says, God said, lift up your voice and shout. Now, can you imagine if they would have said, here, boop, boop, boop. Cricket, cricket, cricket. The guy next to you. Guy next to this way. I don't understand why this would work. I'm not doing that. Walls will stay up. I don't feel like shouting today. I don't feel like praising today. God never asked them for their opinion on the matter, and he never asked them how they felt about doing it. He just said, you want the walls to fall down? Shout! That's what he said. The voice of faith is worship. The voice of faith is worship. Amen. Hallelujah. See, I don't feel like, that's why Paul told Timothy, he said, I remind you, stir up the gift. Amen. Stir up the gift. Yeah. Stir up. It's not my job to stir you up. I will stir you up, but it's not my job to stir you up when we're out of here. You stir up the gift. Amen. You come in here ready to worship. You come in here saying, these chains, these walls in my life, there ain't nothing that you can't praise your way out of. Amen. Nothing you can't praise your way out of.
Hallelujah.
There's power in it. Say, well, I feel like it's just fake. So what? Stir it up. Just start by praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You know, when that pot of broccoli cheese soup's been sitting on the stove for too long and nobody stirred it, it's like all crusty. And the first time you put the spoon in there, maybe it's a little bit hard to stir that around, but if you'll just keep stirring, and you'll just keep stirring, it'll loosen up. And if you just keep stirring, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Something will start to move on the inside of you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Why? Because he inhabits the praises, so when you praise, his presence comes down and starts to stir the pot. Praise the Lord. Well, now we can go there. John 14, 6. Praise God is right. Hallelujah. John 14 and verse 6. I tell you, you can tell people that over and over again. Eventually, you're going to have to cross the threshold of being a faith person, which means you don't go by how you feel. You don't go by what your checkbook is telling you. You don't go by what your body's telling you. You don't go by what the circumstances, the economy, the job. You go by what the Word of God says. And eventually, if you're going to be a faith giant and a faith person, you're going to have to cross over into that, over that threshold of feelings and stop being so feeling dominated. Well, I can't pay my bills. I'm going to be a big grump to everybody today. That's not faith. Well, you know, things just aren't working out for me, and everybody else is going to know it. They're going to know it by my face. They're going to know it by my walk. They're going to know it by my attitude. You better stop that.
Yeah.
If you want to be a faith person, you better cross over into that realm where you're governed by this book. Because your feelings will lie to you. Your mind will lie to you, but that won't. A whole lot of people in the body of Christ, and I'm speaking this by the Spirit of God right now, get into trouble because they go by their feelings. They go by their mind. They don't get governed by the Word anymore. And it affects, and it has a trickle-down effect into their whole life, their whole family. Keep walking by your feelings. Keep walking by your mind. I'm telling you, it'll get you in a mess, a heap of trouble. Hallelujah. Walk by the inner man. A whole lot of people would stop a whole lot of things they're doing if they walk by their inner man. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Some of the things that you do, do them while you go to pray and tell me what your heart says.
Amen. That's good. Good word.
So good.
Needs to be said. Needs to be said. Praise God.
Thank you, Father.
This isn't a normal service for those of you that are here first time, but things need to be said.
Amen.
I want faith giants in this church. Not people who are going to be got moved by every little whim and feeling and emotion. And please. Jesus wants more for you. He died for you to have more.
Amen.
He said in John 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for Jesus?
Amen.
The void between us and God, because God is on that other side, in that void between the sinless man, mankind I'm talking, ladies included, of course, and a perfect, holy, and righteous God, there's a void. Jesus died and laid down over that void and became the bridge. And the Bible says if we walk across him, we get to the Father. Aren't you glad for that? And maybe you're here today and you didn't know that salvation was that simple. See, I was told growing up that you had to jump through a million religious hoops, do a bunch of religious backflips to get God to accept you. That's just not the truth. You just got to go through Jesus.
Amen.
And He's merciful and loving and kind.
Thank you.
Praise God. So it's simple. And if you're here, you say, I don't know if I've ever had a relationship with Jesus. I've gone to church. Church attendance doesn't mean anything when it comes to getting to heaven.
Right.
Jesus wouldn't have had to die if your church attendance could get you in.
Right.
You say, well, I've been a good person. Well, so what?
Right.
How would you know the measuring line of how to be good enough?
Right.
Maybe you said, I've been too bad. Well, praise God, that's what mercy and forgiveness is for. Nothing
right.
bad. You can do enough bad things to keep you out of heaven.
Right.
Jesus bridged the gap for us. But, you know, I was on a hunting trip with the guys from Ohio, and I'm always kind of finding myself, and it's 160 some acres that we have in Ohio on this lease, and I'm always finding it pretty interesting that they forget that I've never been there before. I don't know what you mean when you say just go over there and hunt in that tree. What tree are you talking about? I've never seen it in my life. And one time we go to a tree to hunt, and in case you haven't noticed, I'm vertically challenged. And they're not, and they spaced their steps on their tree that they screw in. I mean, I would have to be an acrobat / Spider-Man to get up in this thing. And he's like, I want you to hunt here. I got a good feeling about this spot. And so I go, and I did everything I could to hop up on the first step. And then I'm reaching, I'm like, how do you expect me to get from here to there without killing myself? And I said, this ain't happening. I'm sorry. Where else can I go hunt? And he's like, oh, just walk over there about 250 yards, you'll find a bridge. When you go across that bridge, you'll see what I'm talking about, and just go there. And I'm like,
what?
You've hunted here since you were 12. I've hunted here for 12 minutes. I don't know what you're talking about. Go across the bridge. And so I did. I found the bridge, and then I go across the bridge. I'm like, well, I can go straight. I can go this way. I can go that way. I'm just wandering around. It was the most wasted night for me hunting. And Jesus bridged the gap. But see, when you walk across that bridge of salvation, there's other places to go. He said, I am the way. There's a song called Waymaker. It says, Jesus made a way when there was no way. He's a waymaker. I just ruined that song. It was a good song, I promise. It was a good song. He made a way. Let me tell you something. No matter what you're facing here this morning, in your mind, in your body, in your finances, in your job, in relationships, with your kids, with your spouse, Jesus is the way.
Amen.
Jesus is the way.
Well,
not another person, not some hotline, not some self-help. Jesus is the way.
Amen.
He's a way maker.
Yes.
He made a way when there was no way. Praise God. Now real quick, go with me to Romans chapter 10. In verse 13, I'm going to read a word here out of a verse. Romans 10 and verse 13. It's when we take our eyes off of Him and put it on other people and fix our gaze on other things, fix our attention on other things, fix our thoughts on other things, fix our intentions, our motives on other things is when we get into trouble.
Amen.
He's the way. They were trying to show me one time, and I laughed too, because we go at like an hour and a half before it's even light out, and you can't even see anything. And they're like, yeah, just find that. There's a tractor path. If you find the tractor path, you'll find the tree we're talking about. If you sit in that tree, you're surely going to see something good. And then they go on to say, it doesn't really look like a tractor path anymore. It's kind of grown in. I'm like, guys, it's 5 a.m. and it's pitch black. I've never been here. Could somebody walk me to the tractor path, please? Would that kill you? But the point is, the tractor path is the way to where you need to go. He said, you ain't going to find the tree you need to sit in unless you go on the right place, the tractor path. That's not even a tractor path anymore. I mean, what kind of a tractor is going on the path? I said, this is a tractor path? There ain't no tractor getting through here. And Jesus is the way. He's the way. That's the highway. Jesus is the way. To get to where you need to be in your life, going all different routes and different ways and different, expending your energy, your thoughts and your actions in different ways, it's going to lead to frustration. It's going to lead to hurt. Okay, I'll say that. Let me just say this. You're not somebody's Jesus and somebody else isn't your Jesus. Stop trying to be other people's Jesuses and stop trying to look to other people. Well, they're my help. They're my Jesus. No, they're not.
Yeah.
You're deceived.
That's right.
Praise God.
Good word, Pastor.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, our Jesus, shall be saved. Saved. You know what that word means in the Greek? That word saved means sozo. Not bozo. Sozo. People look at that verse and they say, yes, call on the name of Jesus and He'll save us from our sins. Absolutely. But that word sozo encapsulates a complete salvation. And let me just read what that word means in the Greek here, because I got a concordance right up here on my iPad. S-O-Z-O. Greek word number 4982, if you have a concordance. It says, to save, which we're glad. To deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, to make whole.
Amen.
To keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. To save one, to make well, to heal, to restore to health, to preserve one who is in danger. Praise God. Salvation is not just dying on the cross and getting your sins forgiven and going to heaven. Salvation, praise God, is everything that you need on this life, and it comes through the Waymaker, Jesus.
Amen.
I had some renovations done in my house, in my office. It was outdated, and I do most of my work from home. So we updated it, and I had the guys that I went to Ohio with, one of them, his name's Jonas, 26-year-old, and his nephew, Nathan, I was 18, they were going to do the work for me. And man, I didn't know what work ethic was until I saw these guys. I mean, there were mornings I picked them up at 4:30 in the morning and didn't bring them home till 7:30 at night. And their break literally consisted of eating a sandwich on their cooler for 5 minutes and working as fast as they could. I mean, it was amazing. I didn't require that out of them. And I made them a lot of meals to force them to sit down. You could just tell they were just chomping at the bit to get back to work. But one morning I picked Jonas up to come to my house. It would have been about 5:00 in the morning this morning that I did. And he's a real just happy-go-lucky super guy. And he got in the vehicle and I could tell he was a little bit bothered or a little bit troubled. And so I asked him, because he just seemed, we're always joking and messing around, and he wasn't like he was mean or anything. You could just tell something was off. And he got in the truck, and after we were driving, going to pick up Nathan, who lived about 5 minutes away, I said, "Yeah, Jonas, what's going on?" He said, "You know, I lay down at night, and when I fall asleep," he said, "when I fall asleep," he said, "I just have the worst nightmares." And he said, "It just causes me to toss and turn all night long, and I'm exhausted." Now, when you're somebody that's working 14, 15 hours a day, and that can't even put you to sleep, and you have restless nights, you're just going to wear yourself out. And he looked it. He looked worn out. Looked drained. Well, when he told me that, my heart compassion just came up. I mean, having trouble sleeping is not fun. You need sleep. That's one cool thing about heaven. We're not going to have to sleep. Caleb, right before bed, though, was like, I wish I didn't have to sleep. He starts to keep playing. Well, in heaven, buddy, you won't have to. Praise God. We'll just play all day, all night. Hallelujah. And but we're not there yet. We need sleep. It's important to get rest. The Bible says a lot about it. But and also, I know this, that Jonas is a born-again Christian. He's accepted Jesus as a Savior. Now, maybe they have some cultural different things and the way they live their life a little different, and maybe they don't have a full revelation of what we have in the Word, but he's born again. We have common ground on salvation. So I know he's God's child, because that's what the Bible says when you receive Jesus. Well, my heart just went up to him, and I just thought, you know, I'm sure at 5:00 in the morning he doesn't want a preacher yapping to him, so I'm going to hold off a little bit. And lunch time came, and Nathan was upstairs using the floor nailer. And Jonas came down. I said, "Jonas, can I have 5 minutes of your time?" And he said, "Yeah, of course." And he sat down with me, and I said, "Man, my heart just really went up to you this morning when you said that about sleeping." I said, "I know you're God's child." I said, "Did you know that God has promises in His Word about you getting good sleep?" He said, "No, I had no idea." And I showed him three verses, and he just was, he's like, and this is, it was funny, cute and funny. He said, "Is that going to be in the Bible? I have it home too." I said, "It's in the Bible." It's in the Bible. You'll find it. It's in there. I promise. Look it up. And I said, and I told him everything to do, but then I wrote out a detailed thing of what to do for him. I said, what I want you to do is I want you to go home and I want you to read these verses. I said, because the promises are there, but you're not getting sleep, even though you're God's children. I said, child, this is how it works, though. I said, you have to use faith for these promises. Just like you had to have faith for Jesus, I was telling him, you have to have faith for every promise of God. And so go home and read these verses. Get them in your heart. Get it settled in your heart that you know that God wants sleep for you. And I said, and when you do that, start saying out of your mouth, Father, I thank you for sweet sleep. Because that's what the Bible promises, sweet sleep. I said, I thank you, Father, for restful, peaceful, sweet sleep that you've promised your child. I wrote that down. I said, you say that. And I said, and it's not going to happen automatically. I said, in fact, it might even get worse. I said, and if you think about this, not only as a faith person are you going to have to cross over the threshold of walking by feelings, you better understand that patience is a part of faith. Hebrews 6 and verse 12 says, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. You know, when you release your faith, you might wake up the next day and nothing change. You might wake up the next week and nothing change. You might wake up a month later and nothing change. Well, you've just stepped into, once you've released your faith, you've stepped into that patience portion of faith. And don't hate it and don't fight against it, because the Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. It's a perfect work. It's not a bad thing. In our minds it is, but it's not according to God. It's a good thing. That patience portion of it is good. Amen. And if you'll pass the test in the patience portion of faith, the manifestation will show up. Where usually people flunk out is that patience portion. Yeah. It's not hard to start a marathon. Right. Most everybody in the world can sign up and start a marathon. Oh, I could do it. I could sign up. I could be there. I could be there when the gun goes off, but I'll tell you what, mile one, I'm going to be struggling. Mile two, I'm going to be really struggling. Mile three, I'm probably not even going to be able to be found. Sure. I'm probably on the side throwing up. Just to be truthful with you. Yeah. It's not the starting of it. Anybody can be excited about healing and prosperity and all these promises and release their faith, but that's just the starting line.
Right.
Now you start running.
Yeah.
And day one goes by, and that might be mile marker one, and patience sets in. What are you going to do? See, the best runners, they can go through that turmoil in their body, that everything in their minds tell them, just stop running with life. I always see people running on the side of the road and they look so tired, I'm just like, just stop.
Yeah.
You don't look like that if you just stop.
Right.
Just stop and go get a Pepsi.
Yeah.
I promise, it'll feel better. But the good runners that can get through it, they just go and go. The thoughts come and they keep going. Their body's talking to them and they keep going. The faith people can release their faith and a month can go by and nothing changed, but they're just still going. I thank you, Lord, this is changing. I thank you, Lord, this is coming to pass. And at times when you release your faith, sometimes things will go backwards before they go forwards. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into the fiery furnace. That wasn't enough. The devil said, let's just make it so it's a little harder on the faith. Let's turn it up 7 times hotter than it's ever been before. Yeah, sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. Just understand that. That that's the devil kicking and screaming, fighting for your life.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And so I told him, I said, it probably won't get better right away. I said, no, it's not going to get better right away. I said, but don't let that alarm you. And I showed him, I said, faith and patience. You get into the faith part, and during the patience part, keep your faith, and it'll show up.
Amen.
Well, this was about a month or two ago, and probably less than that, they finished up the project. And yesterday I went to his house to pay him for the rest, and the reason, not because I was stiffing him the payment, but he had went out of town, and he hadn't given me a final bill yet, and yesterday he did, so we drove down there and went and saw him, and went to a side room. Courtney and the kids were playing with his little girl, and she got to meet her wife for the first time, Miriam, and we went to this little section of his house that he has and sat down to tell me how much I owed him and talked to him about some future projects and things. And he said, you know, Mike, he said, I got to let you know, my sleep has been night and day different since you gave me those 3 verses. I said, yeah, that's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
You know, he said to me, and you know what's even more interesting? He goes, you see the hours we work. He goes, I come home and I'm exhausted. And there's times I'm so exhausted that I lay down and I fall asleep immediately. And he said, but If I don't read those verses, those are my most restless nights. Even though I fell asleep the quickest and I was so tired, he said, I don't care how tired I am. He goes, I need this. I force myself to go over the Word of God. And he said, I sleep like a baby. Jesus made a way, not just for salvation, but for peaceful sleep even. What I'm trying to point out is, anything you need a better marriage, Jesus. Your kids need a Jesus. Your money, Jesus. Your body, Jesus. Your mind, Jesus. He's the way maker. He's the way maker. Hallelujah. You know, on top of that, it's interesting. I know this will happen. People will ask me after service, what are those scriptures? Well, I'll tell you after service. Praise God. We'll get them to you if you want them. And you know, a lot of people, this is just coming up out of my spirit to help people with sleep problems. You know, you'd sleep a lot better if you change what you watch before you go to bed.
Wow, that's good.
I'm going to tell you something. Watching the horror stuff and the crime flicks and all that, and the crime shows, I'm not saying there's anything you have to stop watching, but I'm saying you watch that stuff before you go to bed, you're not going to sleep as well.
Right.
But if you get into the Word, and the Word of God's the last thing that's floating around your spirit, and you have time to, you watch. Nightmares and restlessness will start to wane in your life. It's the same way I've went to lay hands on people before, and the Lord says, don't do it. They just need to change their diet. They'll be fine. It's true. Some of these things can naturally be fixed if we would just listen. Praise God. Absolutely. Jesus made a way. Hallelujah. Jesus made a way. He's a way maker. Praise God. Go with me to Mark chapter 4. Before you go there, though, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm just up here just searching my spirit and radar and what to do next here.
Praise God.
1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Jesus is your way out of anything.
Amen.
You know that the devil will fool you into thinking that, you know what the okay. Where's my soapbox?
Come on.
I need to get up. I'm going to meddle for a second. You know one of the biggest lies that the devil will tell people is they understand what I'm going through as if Jesus doesn't. It's a lie.
Yeah.
And people seek out people for their help.
Come on.
Jesus is the way. There has no temptation. That word temptation in the Greek's test or trial. That has taken you. Now again, don't misunderstand me. Fellowship is good. But we ought to not fellowship around the problem.
Yeah.
We ought to fellowship around the answer.
Yeah.
I always think it's funny, people going through a problem, they go to somebody else that's going through the same problem. Duh! They're failing in the problem and you're going to them because they understand? Do you see how the devil works? Really? That's who you're going to go to? Someone with the same problems? You're going to fellowship around the problem. Why? Because misery loves company. It does. Misery loves company. And your flesh and mind, they just want to vent, they want to vent, they want to vent, they want to vent, and venting gets you nowhere. I'm not talking about don't have fellowship with people. But I'll tell you what, when I'm struggling, I'm going to somebody that's victorious. I'm going to somebody that maybe has gone through the same thing, but they've conquered it. They're raising their kids right. They have a successful marriage. Their finances look good. They're walking in the blessings of God. That's where I'm going. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, there's no test or trial that has taken you, but is common to man. Don't let the devil magnify in your head what you're going through. No one else understands, and it's just the hardest thing in the world, and it's common. And that's not to belittle you. That's what the Word says. See, because the devil will blow up your problem as if it's the worst problem that's ever happened to anybody and that you have it that bad. But what's he doing? Blowing up your mountain so big that it's terrifying. I mean, I'll be honest. When I pulled in today, I was actually taken aback about how grand the building looked. I didn't expect it to look like that. Like, it just caught me. And that's what the devil does. Every time you start thinking and talking about it, blowing your mountain up bigger.
Yeah.
And you go and look at that mountain, and it's gotten bigger and bigger because the thought you've believed is, oh, you have it worse than anybody, and that this is just the worst financial trial. It's common.
Yeah. Yeah.
Common to man, but God is faithful. Oh, praise God. Who will not suffer or allow you to be tested or tried above what you are able. Now, don't mix that up like religion has. People have said, taken that verse and said, hell, I've heard God only gives you He doesn't give you any more that you can handle. No, God's not the one giving you the test or trial. He's saying when you're in a test or trial, He won't allow you to be tested above what you're able. He'll give you what? He says the answer is, but with the temptation of the test, He'll give you a way to escape. A way, a way, a way. Jesus said, if you wonder what the way is, and you're confused about the way to get out of what you're going through, Jesus said, I am the way maker. I am the way. That's your escape, Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. That you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. He is the way maker.
Praise you, Lord.
Praise His name forevermore.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. He is so faithful to make a way for us. To make an escape for us. To give us help. I don't belittle the fact that people are desperate at times. I've been there. And I don't belittle the fact that people are hurting and that people are up against it. We're not coming down against that. That happens in life. Welcome to life, right? We're in life. And I don't question whether or not people feel in their minds and in their bodies that there's no answer for this. I'm stuck and there's no help for us. I don't belittle that. But we cannot let those lying thoughts and lying feelings trump the fact that there is an answer. There is help. There is a way out. But you got to go that way. You got to go that way. Hallelujah. John chapter 1 and verse 12. And we'll get ready to close this up here. John 1 and verse 12. Let me just say this. I'm sorry, just go to John chapter 1. Don't even go to verse 12 yet. But anyways, the devil's moving. I mean, I should say it this way first. God is moving in this area. We're just now starting to see some breakthrough in Olean, and I've done nothing different there than I have here or will do in the future with my praying. Follow the Holy Ghost, preach the Word. And we've been held down, held down, held down. And just now we're having breakthrough. Well, God started moving in Olean and it kicked the devil between the eyes and he got mad and stirred up a storm and caused us to be pushed back a little bit. But we just keep on going.
Amen.
Well, God's moving in South Dayton.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Ladies and gentlemen, okay, I'll just say it this way. I've met with a lot of, for some reason, Pastor Michael, and I'm always awkward, he's always bragging about us in this church to other people. And because he mentions how small the town is and that you'd never plant a church in South Dayton if you were in your right mind and different things. But I mean, you know, we're Christians, we're not in our right minds.
Amen.
We're loopy. We're gone. Praise the Lord. We're fools, the Bible said. We're peculiar people. I'm a weirdo. Yes, I am. And so are you. We're a bunch of weirdos for Jesus. And when he explains it and what's going on, and that this is our second building, what's going on here is nothing short than the hand of God and the power of God moving in this place. Again, we're not bringing glory to a man or the name of the church. I'm just saying what God is doing here. Call it whatever you will, the name of the church. I'm just saying what God is doing here. It's wonderful. Well, where God moves, the devil will move. And it's interesting, all the activity, since that thing's starting to spring up, all the activity that the devil tries to stir up. Why? Try to cause division, try to cause strife, try to mess up the plan of God. Because that building is attached to your future glory. What's going to happen and be spoken in that place and done in that place is going to be the thing that's going to change your life, Continue to keep it being changed. Continue to set your family free, your children free, your bodies free, your finances free, your mind free. And so the devil would do anything he would want to get you kicked out, ejected, booted out of the plan of God. Because he knows something's happening here, and I don't like what's happening here. So let's start causing strife. Not in this place. And Jesus said, I'll give you a way. John chapter 1. Who's the way maker? Jesus is the way maker. In the beginning, excuse me, John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Everybody say the Word.
The Word.
The Word. And the Word, well, what is the Word? This is the Word. And the Word was with God. Well, of course it was. It was His words. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Praise God. In Him was the life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light that was the true light. Jesus is the true light, by the way. Which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's crazy. He was the one that created the world, and he was in the world that he created, and people didn't even know who he was. Just a man, just a carpenter. He was the creator. He was in the world. Let's go to verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Talking about Israel. But as many, now get this, but as many as received him. See, not everybody's a child of God in this world. I don't care what Hollywood tells you. Mm-mm. The word says, but as many as received him, Jesus. To them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were not born of, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now here we go, verse 14. Who's the way maker? Jesus is the way maker. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is that glory, that begotten? Who's that one that was made flesh and dwelt among us? Jesus. The Bible in this verse says that the Word became a man. Well, the Waymaker, the man, Jesus Himself, is not here anymore, but the Word still is.
Hallelujah.
Jonas, you want to sleep better? There's a way. There's a way.
Amen.
And it doesn't require you drugging yourself up and getting on all these different medications and all this sleep therapy. That might work for some people, but there's a better way, Jonas.
Hallelujah.
And the way is Jesus, and that way is the Word. Your way out of everything that you're facing is the way maker. This book has your escape for every single thing you're facing. You're facing poverty, this is the way. You're facing problems with your children, this is the way. You're facing problems in your marriage, do this. Do this. Problems in your body, problems in your mind, problems in your job, the way. He is the Word, the way maker. This book is the way maker. It's the way into everything that we could ever need in this life. So I will tell you, just like I told Jonas, find out what you need, what way you need to go. Find out what God has said about that way. Get that in your heart, and then be a doer of that Word. The Bible says the doers of the words are the ones that are blessed, not the hearers. You see, it doesn't matter that you came here today. So what? It doesn't matter that you heard me preach. So what? It doesn't even matter that you took notes. So what? If you don't go out of here and put into practice what you heard today, it means nothing. If you don't go out of here and walk in forgiveness like the Bible tells you to do, nothing. If you don't go out of here and walk in love like the Bible says to do, if you don't walk out of here and speak right like the Bible says to do, if you don't walk out of here and endeavor to be a tither and a giver like the Bible says to do, if you don't walk out of here and raise your children under godly things and not do what the Word says to do, don't come crying to me.
Hallelujah.
This is the way maker.
Good word.
Hallelujah. So I encourage you, everybody here this morning, cling to Him. Look to Him as the way, and whatever He says, just like when Mary came to Him and said, hey, they've run out of wine, and Jesus said, woman, what are you coming to me for? My hour's not yet come. And she said, oh, He said His hour, it's getting close. And she went to all the servants there at the feast at the wedding there, and she said, whatever He says to you, just do it. Don't question it. When people start questioning, well, I think there's a better way. Let's go over here. This opinion, this danger.
Right.
Cling to the way. Stay right on the tractor bed.
Yeah.
Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we love You this morning. So thankful for the Word. So grateful. Holy cow, Lord. 11:13. That's a miracle. We praise You, Jesus. We magnify You. Glorify You. Love You so much. Thank You for the way this morning. You've provided a way out, a way of escape, Father, that we are just so grateful and so thankful for. Father, I magnify and bless Your holy name and worship You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for all the different utterance that was spoke forth this morning. Father, You're faithful to help us. You love us. You love us so much. You're not mad at any of us. You might want to have some of us make some changes and make some adjustments, but You're not mad at us. And Father, we just love You and magnify You and bless You and glorify You. And thank You for everything that You're doing. Thank You for a church full of people that are correctable, that have open hearts, that want Your way not only for themselves but for their family, Father, for the future of the kingdom. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes, please, nobody looking around. I told you that Jesus bridged the gap between us and God. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except by Me. If you're here today and you can say, Pastor, if I were to die today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. If you could say that, well, man, why leave here thinking that? If you believe in Jesus, the Bible says if you believe He died and rose again, and if you want to accept Him into your heart, the Bible says you can be saved. Doesn't matter how much or how little church you've been to. Doesn't matter how good or how bad of a person you've been or how generous or how cheap you've been. It matters what you do with Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass anybody, I promise. I won't have anybody stand up or come to the front or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. But if you want to receive Jesus here this morning and say, I want to know that I know that I'm going to heaven, and I want to embark on this new journey as a child of God and walk into all these wonderful things that you talked about, Pastor. Well, this is the beginning point, accepting Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning with nobody looking around, would you just lift your hand in the air if there's anybody? Anybody at all that's never done that? I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. See, we're not going to embarrass anybody. Is there anybody else in here that hasn't raised their hand that should? Don't be shy. I see that hand. You can put it down. This is why I'm patient with this, because I was a shy one. That would have been a lot for me to raise my hand, and I know that's the way some people are. But heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm the only one looking. If you want to receive Jesus, would you just lift your hand, anybody that hasn't done it? I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. Thank you for your boldness. See, it's sometimes, with heads bowed, eyes closed still, sometimes it's so hard to grasp in our mind. Can it really be that simple, Pastor? Yes, that's why God, that proves how loving He is. He's so good. If you believe in Jesus and ask Him to come in your heart, that's it. That's all you have to do to get started. Oh, He's so good. Anybody else before we move on? We've had three hands. Actually, we had four hands. Anybody else that wants to receive Jesus before we go on? There might be someone listening by live stream right now or in the future by archives. And you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can jump in on this prayer with us. Now, I told you, those people that raised your hand, I won't embarrass you. I promised you I'm going to keep my word. But we do have to be doers of the word. And the Bible says there's only one thing left to do once you believe, and that's call on His name. Well, don't worry. You're not going to call on His name alone. You're not going to have to think of what to say. I'm going to lead everybody in a prayer, including those people that raised their hand and all the people that didn't. We're going to say a prayer, but we're going to not just say it to say it. We're going to mean it with all our heart. And basically, that prayer is just going to tell the Lord that you believe in Him, that He died and rose again, that you want to accept Him. And so, with heads bowed, eyes closed, everybody in the church, as well as the four people that raised your hand, go ahead and say this. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that You died on the cross, for my sin.
I believe
that You rose again
from the dead.
And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. Praise God. Don't run out of here right yet. We stopped at 11:13. We have time. I'm not going to try to make up for it right now, but I just do want to say this, that if you did raise your hand today, you're saved.